Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's performance-based layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, this is Mike here with BeastNet. I'm with Michael Lee, and we're just gonna We're gonna talk about everything, Michael. So, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well, Mike. Thanks for having me on your podcast. This is fun. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, anytime. I mean, it's kind of what it is. I want to have a podcast that's for BeastNet or for the Beasts and for other, you know, OCR people. And I mean, it's so much fun to talk to people and just hear everyone's different stories. So first off, what got you into obstacle course racing?
Well, back in, I think it was 2014, I had some friends invite me to join them on a team for Tough Mudder. And so the course down in Black Diamond, I ran that in 2014 and 15, I can't remember, but I ran it 2 years in a row with the same group of friends.
Yeah.
And the hardest part for that was just the distance, you know, it's like 10 to 11 miles long, but I don't remember the obstacles being all that difficult.
Yeah.
But in 2016, I had an unfortunate thing happen. I got a ski accident up at Stevens Pass, just a fluke accident. I fell wrong and oops, broke my neck. So fractured C5, C6. I spent a couple nights in Harborview Hospital in Seattle. It was a little scary. And but to make a long story short, I made a full recovery. I'm so thankful. My neurosurgeon and physical therapist were quite proud of me. I wish I could take credit for it. I give credit to God. I think it was miraculous, and they did too. But on the week that I got released from all limitations by my neurosurgeon, that was in August of 2016. It was on a Monday. I had the doctor appointment. And when I got out of there, I sent a message to all my friends and said, hey, I'm free. I'm normal again, you know, no more limitations. And then that following Saturday, the Spartan Sprint was taking place in Washougal, and my buddy John Roberts was running it. He invited me to run it with him, but I didn't really know anything about Spartan at the time. And when I asked John, he said, oh, it's like Tough Mudder, but it's only 4.5 miles long. And in my mind, I thought, oh, wow, 4.5 miles, no problem. I can go out and do Spartan, no big deal. I didn't do any other research on Spartan, the obstacles. I didn't know anything about that. And so I showed up to my first Spartan dressed like I was going to a bad 10K. I wore crummy running shoes that I could throw away, and because that's what I had done for my two Tough Mudder races. I was wearing New Balance running shorts. I was wearing a running t-shirt. And John signed us up for the competitive. So, bam, the gun goes off. Spartan's already ready, all that, blah, blah, blah. And off we go, and I'm running. And, you know, the first quarter mile's fine. But then we started the obstacles. And, oh, my gosh, I stopped counting after 250 burpees that day. It was just brutal.
Yeah.
I did finish. I finished in a stupor. And I felt completely demoralized. I felt unworthy of that medal they put around my neck. But within 15 minutes of finishing, I said, oh, my God, I got to do that again. And so that hooked me. And I went on to do more Spartans from that. So let me pause and catch a breath.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of those things that, you know, I've heard from so many people and, you know, even myself is when we went into a Spartan, some friends said, hey, let's do this. And we didn't research it. We just said, cool. And we went and did it. And the one thing is, I think, honestly, if I had researched it, I don't think I would have done it. Is that bad? Sound bad? I don't think I would have been like, you know, I don't think I'm ready for this. But since I didn't research it and I'm just like, I've done half marathons and I've done mud runs, this will be easy. So I started with the Montana Beast in 2015. Oh, so, I mean, that's where, yeah, I started with the Founders Race, 2015 Founders Race. So, I mean, and that was kind of my thing. No research, no nothing. I'm like, this will be a piece of cake. You know, 9.5 hours later, I'm like, that was stupid.
No, I get it.
So,
in 2016, Mike, I ended up, so I'm goal-oriented. So I said, oh my gosh, all right, I got one spot under my belt. And then come to find out, I was down in Southern California for a business trip, and there was a Spartan race. rallies taking place nearby, and I was able to swing my schedule so I could run the sprint on Sunday.
Nice.
I was out in Temecula, and I did a little better in that one, and that felt good. And then shortly after that, the Seattle Beast was taking place. And so I ran that one super slow. It took like 4.5 hours to finish it, but I finished.
Yeah.
And then in November of that year, I went to Sacramento and ran a super. And so, bam, you know, I did it. I got a trifecta. And the year I broke my neck and almost died, I got one spark trifecta. Ooh, go Michael.
That's amazing, though.
Yeah. And then in December of that year, they have the double sprint weekend down in Los Angeles at Castaic Lake. And I'm from Southern Cal, so I went down for a long weekend, saw family and friends, and ran those sprints back to back. And so I ended 2016 on a high, feeling good about what I had accomplished in Spartan, especially in light of the ski accident. So, you know, going into 2017, I didn't have any set goals, except that I was enjoying Spartan. And I went on to complete 24 races in 2017, 7 trifectas, including I ran the Ultra Beast in Hawaii that year and couldn't believe I did it. I almost backed out of Ultra Beast a week beforehand. I was just all in my head, scared. But, man, I got to tell you, when I crossed that finish line 11 and a half hours later, I experienced a whole level of joy that I've never felt before. And that's fun.
Yeah, that's brutal. I mean, I know a couple of people did that Ultra Beast in Hawaii. I did the Beast, and I there's no way I could have done that Ultra Beast. The Beast destroyed me, but I mean, I think I'm at a different physical level than you are at the point, this point, and I'm working to get there. So
yeah, let me tell you a funny story, Mike, about the Beast. You know, our friends, one of the things I enjoy about the Spartan community are just the amazing people that we surround ourselves with, right? They're crazy, and they're encouraging, and they encourage us to go for it and to do our best. And 2 weeks before the Ultra Beast, I ran a half marathon trail run here in Seattle, and it took a lot out of me. And in my head, I thought, oh my gosh, there's no way that I could turn around and do that again, and obstacles on top of it. And so I was freaking out a little bit. And I had 3 people who were coaching me in preparation for the Ultra Beast. I was working with a nutritionist who was at my physical therapist's office when I was recovering from the accident. And she was also an ultra athlete.
Yeah.
I have a good friend of mine who's a personal trainer. And then my buddy Tom, about my age, is just a Spartan racer. And so I checked in with all 3 of them, and I had my excuse all lined up and ready to go. I told them, I said, you know what? Hey, I'm doing really well with Spartan. I think I should wait another year to run an ultra. It just feels like it's a little too much, blah, blah, blah. I said that to the nutritionist, and she was just silent on the other end of the phone. She just didn't say anything. And after an uncomfortable silence, she finally says, well, Michael, whatever. I know you can do it, but if you want to humor yourself and say that you can't, that's fine. You know, I'll do it. I'm with you either way.
Yeah.
Her slightly sardonic tone was not lost on my ears. And then my buddy, PJ, the trainer, he says, Michael, you know, there's no guarantee you're going to be able to do one next year. You're in good shape. If you weren't, I would tell you. You know, you need to do it now because tomorrow isn't promised to us, let alone next year. So I thought, dang, that's 2 good reasons. And then my buddy Tom, I told him my rehearsed line about why I didn't want to do the ultra. And he said, you know, Michael, this isn't original with me, but some good advice that I got was at least once a year, you need to do something that just completely scares the shit out of you. Any questions? And I said, no, I got it. So those 3 friends encouraged me to go on ahead and do the Ultra Beast. And I'm so glad because I was seriously ready to weasel out of it. And I tell you, that buckle is hanging in my room. And I look at that and I go, yeah, I did that. I earned that. And I did pretty well. You know, there were like 68 obstacles. I only failed 5 over the course of the day. I did really well and felt strong. And
That's awesome. I mean, I know I'm not ready for an ultra beast, really, because of how long it takes me to do a beast. But I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there. I've got to get myself back into the shape I was. And I mean, no, I didn't break my neck, but I did break my foot, so.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I consider 2017, all the Spartan races that I was able to do, that, I call that Michael's Celebration of Life Tour.
Yeah.
I could have been dead, I could have been paralyzed, I wasn't. And the other thing that Spartan has helped me with is, you know, I used to be somewhat of a workaholic. I own a staffing and recruiting company in downtown Seattle.
Yeah.
And I enjoy working. I enjoy working hard. I enjoy working long hours. And I did. And when I broke my neck, I couldn't. I really had to let go of things and let my staff run things. And wouldn't you know it, in 2016, the year that I broke my neck, most of the year, my staff was running it. And the business grew 20% that year.
Wow.
So I had to look in the mirror and say, oh, I wonder if this is the case of micromanaging my people, what have you. And that was a good opportunity for me to look in the mirror and evaluate my leadership style. And I let my staff run with it. And I haven't taken it back. And in 2017, we grew another 10%. And so, you know, the unexpected blessing in all of this is that I don't have to be in the office as much. And that has freed me up to indulge in my art hobby a little bit. And last year, I was able to do a couple of races in Thailand and Dubai. I was in Thailand already visiting a children's home that I support over there. That was in late July, early August.
That's awesome.
This is a funny story. Like, I was in the airport in Bangkok getting ready to catch a flight within Thailand. And you know how they have those electronic billboards in airports? And
yeah.
I'm walking along, and all of a sudden this billboard pops up, and I go, oh my gosh, that's a Spartan Race ad. And I look at it a little closer, and I go, oh my gosh, it's here in Bangkok. And oh my gosh, it's 4 days after I'm supposed to leave. And so it was easy for me to change my ticket, stay, and run a Spartan Race in Thailand. And it was pretty amazing. So that was fun. And then Dubai was just, I ran the Middle East Spartan Championship course.
Mm-hmm.
So Dubai is just looking amazing. I've been to Dubai once before with the Seattle Chamber of Commerce, and it's a direct flight from Seattle. It's long and 14 hours, but I have the direct flight. And I watched 6 movies on the way there. No joke,
wow.
6 movies. Yeah, but the Dubai Middle East, the Middle East Spartan Championship was a beast course. But you and I know that just because they say it's 13.1 miles when you click off your fitness tracker at the end, it's usually a lot more than that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
When I finished the Dubai Beast, I was just under 19 miles, and that hurt. That was pretty brutal. And it was in the sun. It was in the desert, and that one hurt. But I finished. And I went, oh my gosh, I finished that. That felt really good. And so this year I don't have any international trips planned, but I am hoping that I can still do the same number of races. I'm shooting for 21 to 24 races this year, but going to be stateside the whole time.
That's awesome. I mean, it's good to see that. I mean, someone like you, you know, I mean, who was injured and still be able to do it. I mean, those are the stories I love to hear, is people that are able to come back from an injury. I mean, there's so many people that have an injury like that and they're just like, nope, I'm done. Life's over.
Yeah.
And it's not. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't been snow skiing since I broke my neck, but not because I'm afraid. It's because I'm using all my free time to run Spartan races, because quite frankly, that's more fun to me than snow skiing.
That's awesome.
The other thing is, I like to challenge myself. You know, I've done a lot of races, but I'm not a threat to win any of them, at least yet. Last year, I ran open division all year. And
yeah.
This year, I bumped up. I'm running age group. And
that's
I've
awesome.
Had my butt handed to me in every race I've done so far. But that's just motivation to train more, to work harder, and see what I can do. And so I'm having fun with that challenge. And my goal this year is to be I can qualify. No, not to see. I'm going to qualify in my age group for the World Championship in Tahoe. That means I got to at least finish fifth in my age group in a race. And that's my goal. And I'm going to do it. And now I've put it out there for you and me and for the rest of the people who hear this podcast. So now I got to do it, right, Mike?
Exactly. And I mean, that's the part that I love is the fact that you said your goal and then you changed that and you said you're going to. You change it from a goal because a goal gives you an out.
Yeah.
But now it's a plan. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And words are important. Words are important. Our minds really do adjust to the words that we use. So it's important.
Yes, it's very important. So that's awesome. So your plans for this year is 21 to 24? That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah, and I wonder if any other beasts do this. I've got a spreadsheet, my Spartan spreadsheet to help me keep organized. I've got all my races on there. I've got a calendar on there. I've got, you know, have I booked my flight? Do I need to book a hotel? Who's going? You know, who am I rooming with? All that stuff. It's almost like a part-time job to keep track of my schedule just for Spartan. So it has its own detailed spreadsheet.
That's crazy. Yeah, the only thing I've got is my wife has on the fridge. She writes down each month and what races we're doing that each month. So, because we try and do, as a family, we do at least a 5K a month, if not more, you know, and if not a longer race. And then I have my Spartans that I do, and my son, who's 15, is starting to do his Spartans. So he's doing both in Seattle and doing Washougal so far this year. He hasn't admitted that he's doing the Beast yet, but he really doesn't have a choice.
I love it. And that just brings me back to, you know, I do a lot of trail runs around Seattle, and isn't it something? You never run into a person with a bad attitude out on the trail. People are they're happy to be out there. And the same is with within the Spartan community. There's just a lot of good people, and in particular with Beast OCR, it's just so much fun to keep meeting new people because they're all cool. They all have a great story to tell, and it's such an encouraging environment to be in. So I love that. You know, I've run this staffing company for about 11 years now, and I enjoy it. It's hard work, but I enjoy it. Previous to that, I used to be a motivational speaker for children in elementary school. No joke, it was my full-time job. I got to speak to kids in elementary schools. I've been to all 50 states, among other things. And I used to be a yo-yo pro. On Instagram, my handle is YoYoManMichael because I was a geek who knew how to do all those yo-yo tricks, and I parlayed that talent into a 45-minute show encouraging kids to work hard in school and do their best. And
that's
so
crazy.
That was a really fun season in my life, but traveling and speaking it gets old. And
I can see
what
that.
I find in the Spartan community is, man, so many people encourage me. Like, I used to encourage kids, and it gives me an opportunity to tap into my old inner yo-yo man and be an encouragement to others as well. So another added blessing to doing Spartan and being part of the Spartan community and the Beast OCR community.
That's awesome. That's one of the things I love about the Beast is how encouraging they are. I know for me, I mean, I don't know if I could travel that much and talk. I mean, I just switched jobs to where my new job, I'm a safety professional, but I teach classes, I walk job sites and make sure people are being safe and all that kind of stuff. But for me, the teaching part is what I wanted. I've been teaching forklift and scissor lift and first aid and CPR for years, and I love doing it. And with this job, I'll be able to do a lot more of that, plus, you know, some other classes that I'm learning. So, I mean, I love,
you know,
to get up in front of class, people, and teach.
You and I didn't know this about you, Mike. We might need to talk because I've got a light industrial division in my staffing company that places a lot of lift operators. So there could be some ways for us to collaborate there. So
there could be. Yeah, let me know.
Let's take that conversation off podcast, my friend.
Yes, definitely. We'll have to do that.
Hello?
So, no, yeah, it's the – but like I was saying, the encouragement that you get from the Spartan community, I think, is what I love. I mean, you know, when I did that first Beast, I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit halfway through.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't ran into Jason and Andrew, I think I would have. But they kept me going. And, I mean, they were part of Beast, and I had was kind of part of Beast, but I never met anybody, but it just, they took me under their wing. And I guess, you know, according to Andrew, I kind of took him under my wing and we all three just made each other finish. And that's what I love, you know. And, you know, I know people have heard me talk about Montana 2 years ago where it took us 13 and a half hours, but we made sure that every beast that left Seattle to go run that race, or Idaho or wherever they came from, every beast finished that beast. So, I mean, it was brutal and it was tough, but we all did it. And I mean, we're a team and we make each other do better.
And like, that's such an encouragement to me that you're out there doing it. You're out there doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got a cousin that lives in Florida who's a few years younger than me, but I'm encouraging him to get out there and run a Spartan race. And I told him, you know, get out there on the website, look at the pictures. This is for everybody.
Yes.
This is for everybody. Everybody runs their own race, but just get out there and do it because you're going to find incredible support out there. So I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, Mike. Carry on. I look forward to being a mutual encouragement to each other as we continue on this Spartan journey, man. Who knows what's going to happen with the sport? Let's enjoy it for what it is for such a time as this.
Oh, yeah. No, and I mean, it's going to be, I think Spartan's going to keep growing and just become bigger and bigger, and it's going to be awesome. And I think the beasts are going to grow with it. I mean, the beast, you know, it's not just Spartan, it's Tough Mudder, it's Spartan. Now we just became a GORUCK, you know, GORUCK, you know, official GORUCK team, I think, or something. But there's all these different things that, you know, Beast is spreading out and doing. I mean, you know, and along with the Beast, you have Jesse with, you know, West Coast Obstacles. You know, mostly, you know, the beasts are involved in that. I mean, it's just the beast is spreading out so much into so many different areas of the community and helping each other. And I mean, I see the beast becoming huge, you know, in this area, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I love it. By the way, West Coast Obstacles, their next training day is it's April 7th, Saturday, April 7th. And I hope everybody goes out there. I will be on a business trip in San Diego. Otherwise, I'll be out there.
Yeah,
there, so.
I think I'm going to actually miss this one because I've got training that I've got to do that morning for some one of the companies that I used to work for. So I think unless I can finish that training a lot quicker than I think I can, I'm not going to be able to make it. So, yeah. So, all right. Well, perfect. I mean, is there anything else you had to say in closing? Or, I mean.
No, just that, you know, I turned 50 this year. I'm not a kid. You know, I'm on the older end of the Spartan spectrum, but by no means done. There are a lot of badass 50-something Spartans out there. I was surprised to see. And, you know, I just want to run my race for where I'm at, for how old I am, what fitness level I'm at, do the best I can, and encourage as many people as possible, just like you're doing.
Yep.
And I look forward to seeing what the rest of this year has in store. So
that's awesome. I know for me, I mean, I'm hoping I'm half as athletic and spry as you are at 50. I got 10 years to go. I just hit 40. So
I've got a 50-year-old body and probably about a 25-year-old attitude.
I know that one. I mean, I don't know if you heard what I did for my 40th birthday. I went and did the Seattle Marathon. So, I mean, that was,
oh, nice.
That was the most painful, crazy thing I think I've ever done, but I finished it and I'm proud of myself for it. So it was crazy.
Yeah. You know, the guy that taught me how to yo-yo back in the day is where I first heard this quote. This quote is out there quite a lot, but it's true. And he said, Michael, people don't, they don't stop playing because they grow old. They grow old because they stop playing.
Yep.
And there's a lot of truth to it. So I don't pay a lot of attention to my age. I share how old I am many times just to inspire people. I say, look, man, don't, especially when I hear young people that are younger than me calling themselves old, I go, whoa, wait a minute, come on.
Yep, you're only as old as you tell yourself.
I'm not offended by that. That doesn't offend me, but I'm saying, why would you put that on yourself? You don't know what you're capable of. I don't know what I'm capable of as a 50-year-old, but I'm not going to let anybody put limits on me.
No.
I want to push the limits and let's figure out together what's possible and discover some new frontiers together.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, you're only as old as you let yourself feel. So, I mean,
the mind over matter thing does get us so far, but not completely. There are some mornings I wake up and go, oh, wow.
Well, the way I always look at the mind over matter is if you don't mind, it don't matter, is the way I see it. So. And that's kind of how, you know, it used to be, you know, mind over matter kind of meant something different. Just like if you make yourself think it, you can do it. Now it's pretty much just, if you don't matter, it don't mind. You know what I mean? Yeah. If it don't matter or you don't mind, whatever. So, it's.
So my last word, Mike, is just that last year was my celebration of life tour, but I extended it. So 2018 is the extension of Michael Lee's celebration of life tour. So when you guys all see me out there on a Spartan course, you might have as big of a smile as me, but you won't have a bigger one, I'll tell you that much, because I'm just happy to be out there playing in the mud.
Right on. I can't wait to see you out there.
Right on, my friend. Well, thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
Oh, thank you for letting me give you a call. Perfect. Yeah. So, all right. I look forward to seeing you out there, and you have a good day.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be right back with another interview.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
All right, everybody, we're back from break, and I've got Yoshi here. for those of you who don't know Yoshi, it's actually Josie, but we all call her Yoshi. She's Nick's daughter and a great Spartan. So how you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing all right. Like I was saying, you know, before we started, I got Far Cry 5, so I've been binge playing that. So.
Oh. I love them games.
Oh, yeah. So... Obviously, I'm guessing your dad is what got you into OCR and obstacle course racing.
Pretty much.
Yeah. The Nick, I will say this, when I saw him at the run recently in Tacoma, the beard threw me off. I mean, he cut off the long braided parts. I'm like, wait a minute, you almost look respectable. I mean, that's not fair.
You almost look human.
Yeah, I like the warrior look.
I think almost everyone loves that look, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's distinctive. It's one of those things I've had so many times where people are like, Nick, which one's that? Beard, braids. Oh, yes, I know who you're talking about.
The Viking.
The Viking, yes. Yeah.
That's how everyone finds him.
Yes. So... I know you've done a few. How many Spartans have you done? How many obstacle course races? I know you've done a few Spartans. You've done Tough Mudder. How many have you done now?
A lot. I think we started doing them probably 2014, 2015. And I started doing my Spartan races just last year. And I only did 3 sprints. But before that, I always did, we've always done Survivor Mud Run, the Warrior Dash. There's we tried doing Pirate Thunder, all sorts of stuff. Most of them are muddy and just fun little dorky stuff.
Oh yeah, that's what makes them fun.
Exactly.
And that's what gets us hooked into Spartan, because that was my mistake. I did all the little ones like Survivor and all those, and I'm like, oh, Spartan will be easy, no problem.
The less you know.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike Lee about that. That, I mean, it's one of those things. I think if someone would have actually explained what Spartan really was to me before I did it and I did any research, I don't know if I would have actually done it.
Well, I didn't really know about the races too well. And my dad, he ended up doing one of the races and told me about it. And at first I was just like, why would you go through such a crazy thing? But at the same time, going, well, we also did some other types of races. Might be fun.
Yeah.
And I'd always try and get into the races and everything. And most of the time, he was like, I don't want to pay for you. Or said, you know, like, it's too hard for me. And at the time, I only did soccer, and I wasn't too athletic as well.
Yeah.
But after I heard that he on the podcast when you interviewed him, he said how I got my first Spartan race, and it was for free after doing a Spartan event that was like just a little workout, and that's where we met you.
Yeah.
And after I got that, I just remember getting nervous for my first Spartan race. And when we first got there, I just remembered how excited I was to do it. But at the same time, I was so cold because of how bad the weather was that day.
Yeah, that was a cold one.
Yeah.
That was a cold one. Well, now that was the one too. Didn't you twist your ankle? What was it?
No. There was water. It was like the third to last obstacle. And I remember my dad just kept telling me, you need to get down, just swim across. And I would refuse because I didn't want to get any more wet than I was.
Yeah.
And I tried walking a little bit. And as soon, once we were in the water, my foot ended up cramping up so bad to where I fell and couldn't really move my body physically.
Yeah.
So my dad had to stretch it out for me and ended up dragging me through the water. And some people, like mostly my dad, he was helping me walk to the next obstacles and everything. And it just was killing me so much. I never had a bad crack before.
Yeah, that one sounds horrible. I've been lucky. I've only had... In fact, this year was the first time I really had a cramp on a race. And of course, it was on Bender as I was throwing my leg up over my calf cramped. And you're at that point where you're like, okay, I just pretty much have to deal with it. Because if not, I'm going to fall 12 feet onto my back and that's not going to work.
It's not fun.
No.
It's one of those pains where you have to push through, but you don't want to push through.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember that one. That was when I was volunteering at the exit tent, and when they said last racers, I came running out and I saw you guys come and finish. And that was awesome to see you guys finish like that. So
yeah, I remember that. And I remember I saw James, and he was like one of the first people that I met from the Beast group.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't really know any of the Beast crew. And I just remember seeing James and seeing him cheering me on and, you know, like, because he recognized me right away. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to start crying here. Because I was like beaten up already and like mentally, like just down. And then seeing all everyone cheering me on and everything, I was just like, wow, this is a different environment.
Yeah.
And I just, my spirits lifted up really well, or really high, I guess.
Yeah, I can get that. I did a Montana 2 years ago. I was one of the last group to finish. And that feeling when you get there and you realize everyone's pretty much waiting for you, but they're cheering you on and everything else. It's a different feeling. And I mean, it's an amazing feeling, but yeah. So.
Yeah, it's really nice. And there's been many races where I'll volunteer and there's some races like the Washougal Sprint that we had in September.
Yep.
And I remember, or was it October? August.
August. That was in August.
But I remember I was with my best friend, and we were there mainly waiting for my dad to do the hurricane.
Yeah.
And I remember on the course, there was this really big guy, and I remember passing by this guy after, like, helping him out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I remember cheering him on and saying, you got this, just finish through, you're doing amazing. And I was there when ended up being the last racer, and I remember giving this guy a big old hug and being proud of him, cheering him on and all that. I was really proud of him for pushing through.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one thing that's great about you know, I've talked about it a lot in the Spartan community, and I mean, really the OCR community at all is just so helpful to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's just so nice and supportive. It's, I mean, the competitiveness is there, but the support is more, you know, more important to most people. So, yeah. So, what other big plans do you have with Spartan and OCR? I mean, there's Tough Mudder. I keep saying Spartan. That's just because that's the one that I do the most.
Yeah, so understandable. Really, my main goal with Spartan is to get my first trifecta. And I'm also getting my best friend, Hope, to do the trifecta with me, considering I kind of drug her into the Spartan races as well. and like the Washougal one, that was her first race. And this year we're going to go from her having her first race to her having her first trifecta as well. And I'm nervous from hearing all the different types of stories from different types of races, different terrains and all that. And well, I'm nervous, but I'm really excited at the same time.
Where are you doing your races? I mean, you're doing Seattle in April, right?
Yes, we're doing the one in Seattle, the one in Washougal, and I think that my dad's dragging me to the one in Montana, and we might be doing the one in Idaho as well.
Are you doing the sprint or the beast in Montana?
I'm going to assume the beast, since the super and the sprint are in April, and then there's the sprint in Washougal, so the only one left would be Montana. The beast. Yeah.
Is the Montana's an easy one? Yeah, Montana's the easy one. Yeah, yeah. I'll let you believe that. Montana's where I started, and that was Montana's hills. Be ready for hills.
Okay.
Hills, and more hills. There's like
so death, and more death.
It's pretty much there's no logic to Montana because it feels like you go uphill for like 10 miles and then suddenly you're back at the like starting point. You're like, I don't think we've gone down enough for this to be right.
Oh, that just hearing hills reminded me of Idaho because there was no shade. It was all dust and dirt all in your face, and all you were breathing was like dirt. And it was like 90 degrees out, and there's three huge hills, and I was just dying. After like 5 feet of running, I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, see, Montana,
most of it was uphill.
Montana doesn't have a whole lot of dust and all that, because usually it's, you know, this time of year in May, it's still a little wet, but it's just hill after hill after hill. And I started Spartan in 2015. My first Spartan ever was a Montana Beast. And it was almost my last.
Oh, gosh.
But, I mean, it's one of those things. It's doable. I mean, this will be my fourth year doing it. And you're obviously in a lot better shape than I am.
I mean, I try to. I always tell people, like, especially with my friends, I always tell them I am the most laziest athletic person. Because I love to do, like, soccer, and I love to try, like, certain sports. But at the same time, I don't train whatsoever. I eat a lot of food. I eat a bunch of junk food. I sit on my butt and just, like, play video games, watch TV. I do nothing.
But see, you're 17, so you can get away with that. I'm 40. I can't get away with that anymore. But, no, Montana's a good one. I mean, it's a good test. I mean, the Seattle Beast is honestly probably the easiest beast I've ever done. I mean, it's... Yeah, it's just easy. Montana is a great one because it really challenges you and it'll make you like know that you're there and you can do it. So it's not like when you're done, you're like, well, that was too easy. You know?
Yeah, Spartan likes to challenge you just somewhat.
Yeah, Montana will question your choices the whole time.
That sounds like me with any race.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's like, because I've done... The only beast I've done is Montana, Hawaii, and Seattle. And Montana and Hawaii have one thing in common. There's a lot of hills, which people are surprised to find out there's a lot of hills in Hawaii, but there is. And every once in a while, you walk around a corner and it gives you like the most breathtaking view you've ever seen in your life.
Well, I would love that.
You're sitting there like, I'm going to die. And you walk around a corner and you see this view and you're like, I've died and I'm in heaven. This is amazing. This is gorgeous. I didn't think heaven would be so painful, but here it is. Yeah. So.
All you need now is like a dog or something.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. It's just, you come around a corner and you're like, this is just amazing. This is beautiful. And then you have to walk around the corner and then it gets horrible again. But it's an amazing run.
I will keep that in mind. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, so what other ones do you have in mind? I know you do the Spartan ones. I know your dad's done like Tough Mudder and stuff like that. Do you do those ones?
I had my first Tough Mudder just this year. No, it wasn't last year. It was last year. And my main thing was I was super nervous for the Arctic Anima and the electrical wires.
Yeah. See, the electrical wires is why I won't do it.
Okay, everyone told me that it really wasn't that bad. And for a good while, I didn't believe them because my dad told me when he went through it that he got hit right in the nuts and just fell and kept getting electrocuted as he's on the ground, and just told me like how painful it was and everything. And I was, after that, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this.
I mean, after you just explained that, I definitely don't want to do it. I mean, I have a problem with electrocution, but electrocution to my nuts? Yeah, that makes 10 times worse.
Well, for me, when I went through, at first, my race, it was, we had the Arctic Anima, and then we had a run, jog, walk, whatever you wanted to do,
yeah,
to the last obstacle, which is getting electrocuted. And I was doing this with both my best friend and my dad, and we hit the Arctic Anima. My best friend, like, flew through it. And my dad took his time because he kept hitting his head. But as soon as I hit it, I got in and I jumped right out. And I just ran straight to the next obstacle, started doing jumping jacks nonstop until my best friend caught up. And I remember we started walking towards it. And I said, we're not waiting. We're not waiting. We're not being these people that are just standing here staring at it. And so I started counting down. I was like, 3, 2, 1. And as soon as I said that, I started jogging down. And I got hit in the shoulder at first, and I was like, oh, that's not that bad. Jumped over a hay bale, and the only, like, electrical wire that actually hurt me was from jumping over. It caused my entire body to, like, twitch. But outside of that, that was the only wire that actually, like, got you.
Oh, yeah, no.
They're not that painful, but it was kind of fun, actually.
Okay, yeah, we're learning new things about you, but... Yeah, no.
That weird.
I mean, I just can't do it. I mean, it's, I don't know what it is. I mean, one of these days I have to, because I'm one of those people, if I have a fear like that, I have to do something to get over it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, eventually I'm going to have to do a Tough Mudder, but it's kind of been one of those things that it's always fallen on the same weekend as the Spartan. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm Spartan first, but, which is just really an excuse because I don't want to do the Tough Mudder. I don't want to get electrically shocked, but one of these days I'm going to have to do it just because I need to, you know, and everyone tells me, oh, well, you can just skip it. And I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't work with me. That doesn't sit right. You know, it's like,
yeah,
the, you know, I know you don't get
want to try and do it and try to complete all the obstacles, or at least try to do it.
Yeah. And I know with Tough Mudder, you don't get a medal, or you just get like the band or something, but
yeah,
I don't feel like I would have earned it if I didn't do that. If I skipped that obstacle, and that's why I haven't done it, but I just have a thing against electrical shock. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've taken too many safety classes, and I can see what I've seen what electrical shock can do to people, or something. But yeah, it just bothers.
That's understandable.
Yeah, but eventually I'm gonna have to. I mean, there's very few. I try and face my fears as much as possible. There's only like one fear I really haven't faced, and that one I'm just never going to. So. Mainly because it's completely stupid, but
half the races we do are completely stupid. But well, see,
that's what's funny is the only fears I really haven't faced is the electricity thing and ET. So I'll do the electricity. ET's out. I just no. That's too ingrained in my brain. I can't watch that.
Oh Lord!
You have no idea.
I do things about you as well.
I'm a horror movie fanatic. I grew up watching like every weekend from the time I was 5 years old until my grandmother passed when I was 16. I would go to my grandmother's, not every weekend, but at least once or twice a month, and spend the whole weekend watching horror movies with my grandma. The one movie,
amazing, honestly.
It is. When she died, I got her entire horror movie collection. I have like 300 horror movies on VHS.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's amazing. But the one movie I can't watch is E.T.
What is that?
It creeps me out. E.T. is creepy as hell. Yeah. And I think what it is when I was... E.T. came out when I was 4 or 5 years old. And my mom took me to see it in the theaters. And I guess there's supposedly some part in the beginning where he's screaming like a banshee and running through woods or something. I apparently, for whatever reason, that freaked me out. I climbed under the chair and would not come out until they like made me leave the theater. I'm like, nope, I'm done. And ever since then, never had an urge to watch it. I'm like, nope, I'm good. Nope. I'll watch any horror movie you pick. I will watch it, but I will not watch E.T. It's very weird, I know, but...
Just a bit.
Yeah. So, Oh, so you're 17, right?
Yes.
So what?
18 in September.
A junior in high school?
Correct.
So yeah, if you're 18 in September, then you probably would have started. Yeah. So junior in high school, huh? Man.
Correct.
So big plans after high school?
Kind of?
Doing more Spartan races?
Most likely. But at the same time, it's also debatable because I have two different types of jobs that I'm thinking about doing right after high school.
Yeah.
And two of them are completely different from each other. And two of them are completely away from each other. So it's one of those decisions that I'm trying to like figure out as I go through school.
That's the best way to do it. You got a year and a half.
Yep. Yeah. Slowly figuring it out.
Yeah. And you've got a brand new little baby sister?
Yeah, we do. Almost 2 months.
Man, your dad's braver than I am. My youngest is 15, or well, just about to be 16. And I'm like, yeah, no more for me. I'm out. Done. Jeez. All right. Just trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to ask you. I can't think of it.
I'm down for any question if you have any.
I was just trying to think if there was any that I had. I mean, you kind of covered the Spartan and all that stuff. That's actually a good question. On your obstacle course racing, what motivates you to do better? What motivates you to keep going? Is it just your dad?
Mostly my dad. I've always looked up to my dad, and I've always had, like, this mindset to make him proud, make him, like, be proud that he has me as a kid or something like that. I feel like every kid goes through that, like, thing. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where he's my main family. He's all, really, that I have outside of my my stepmom, my baby sister. I've never really had a family that I can actually call family outside of my dad.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's times where I'm like, I hate my dad. But at the same time, it's like, I can't hate him. Because of all the stuff that he's done for me and protected me from, like, my mom and all this other stuff. And all I want to do is always try and, like, be proud of him or be better than him on certain stuff. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we're doing the races, I can't get into that mindset where it's like, I'm not going to do that. Because if I'm seeing him doing it, I'm like, I got to try it. I have to do it. I have to try and do it, try and be better. And that's always something I'm trying to improve on is, you know, either be as equal as him or to be better than him.
That's awesome. Makes me actually appreciate your dad more than I did before. Your dad's a great guy. I love your dad. I mean, he's amazing. And you've also got, now you have the Beast as a family too. We're all here. Yeah. So.
And I'm proud that I have you guys as well because after we started joining, I, like with Adam, recently I had a call with him because I was needing advice for like family issues going on and he gave me this great advice, and I was just like, well, I have my answer on what I need to do now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you ever need other advice, you have my phone number.
Well, thank you.
But if I don't answer and it comes across with a weird voicemail that says Brandon, that's actually me too. So.
Okay.
I do comedy, so my comedy name is Brandon, and actually the phone that I use for recording is the Brandon phone. So, yeah. Yeah, so I have a whole nother podcast called Re-Nerdish. I try and mention it every once in a while just because you know. But
understandable.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. That's awesome. I'm that kind of motivation is good, and it's good to see you know that someone with that kind of motivation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can't think of anything else that I had for you. So.
All right.
Thank you for talking with me, and I look forward to seeing you at some event coming up soon. I'm sure I will. I mean, the Seattle Super is coming up, so I will see you there probably, if not sooner. So, all right.
Well, that sounds good.
Perfect. Thank you.
I will see you at the next race.
All right. See you later.
And thanks for the interview.
Oh, anytime, Yoshi. All right. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.